every gravestone I've ever looked at, when you look at the name of the person who is buried there, or what's left of them, I should say, on Earth, the name is always in all caps. They're dead. They're not here anymore. It's not a living person. When you get bills from the IRS, or you get certain things from courts, what have you, again, isn't it funny, the only place you ever see your name in all caps is when on a tombstone, or if you get something, a letter from the IRS. What does that tell you? They've made you, they've turned you into this corporate straw man type subject of the 14th Amendment of the USA Corporation, separate from the heavenly endowed, creator endowed with unalienable rights, protected character of the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. The split came after the Civil War. The physical manifestation, the absolute, you can see it now, it is there in plain view, came with the 1913 Federal Reserve Act and how the money began to split. The legal system follows the money. We're talking to Al Whitney. She's beautifully describing this and how, I mean, this is very nuanced and complicated information. Hopefully people can get and see this clearly. In 1921, I have a 1921 right here. It is. You can hear it. Hear that? That's sound of silver. In 1921, this is a silver dollar. And it's $1. The money of the Constitution, the money of our founding fathers. At the same time, I could have a $1 Federal Reserve note that was money also, and it had this separate legal system, and that was trying to push and get entrance and push out the old system to make way for this new corporate system. During the break, Al, you were talking about this money and a different way to look at it, maybe even clearer, I thought was very important, Federal Reserve, the private money. Would you go ahead with that, please?
Yeah. Most people who probably listen to your show, they probably all get it. And certainly we've talked about it. Ron Paul's talked about it. Everybody's talked about it. The Federal Reserve is a private cartel. It is not part of the United States government. Okay. It was behind it, Paul Warburg and those creeps, was the Rothschilds, who at the time had already cornered the market on gold, had more gold than anyone else on the planet. So, when the Federal Reserve, the private Federal Reserve, took over the country, took over the Treasury, and created the Federal Reserve note, it is really the private currency of the banking cabal called the Federal Reserve. It's their private currency. It's got their name on it. We can prove that they took over the U.S. Treasury in 1920 with the Independent Treasury Act. So it doesn't matter that it says United States Treasury on it. They own the United States Treasury. And it says Federal Reserve. Now, that's a private currency. So along comes World War II. And I've even heard former World Bank attorney Karen Hootis talk about, oh, how it was important at Bretton Woods that there wasn't going to be a currency war. They wanted to prevent currencies from battling against each other. So they agreed to make this private currency called the Federal Reserve Note. A lot of people like to call it the dollar, and they forget who the Federal Reserve is. They made it the World Reserve Currency at Bretton Woods in 1944. So we sail along, and lo and behold, when Kissinger was in there with Tricky Dicky, and all of a sudden we were given this fake energy crisis, it was determined that the petrodollar was to be created, and a deal was made with the Arab countries that oil would be bought and sold in dollars, and they use the term dollars. But you and I know what they meant is oil was to be bought and sold in the private currency of the Rothschilds. So if people stop and think about that, this cartel, it's their private currency. So they get to choose the legal system because it's their private currency. And if we could do that, I told my husband, if we were allowed to print money and everybody was forced to use our money, and we could sprinkle lots of money on this cause because we liked it, and we could deny money to this cause because it didn't serve our purpose. Can you imagine how much power we could get if we had the right to do that. I mean, I called them Bernie's bucks. My husband's Bernie. And I said, we could do Bernie's bucks. Think of what we could do with the world if everybody had to use Bernie's bucks. And I wish people would kind of start to understand, if you can control what currency everybody's using, well, then you can control pretty much everything. Because you just fund that which serves your purpose, and you deny funds to that which doesn't.
You said something extremely powerful to me that kind of just hit me. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of plain, but it's like, wow, it just hit me in a different way. You talked about the petrodollar, and that we call them dollars, but really it's private money. And, you know, it hit me, a dollar, constitutional, what is it, what's the reference? It's Article 1, section, what's the section in the Constitution?
Okay.
It's about money.
Hold on, I had it on the screen, and my computer went to screensaver.
Section 10.
It is Article 1, Section 10. Yes.
Okay. So Article 1, Section 10 tells you what a dollar is, gold and silver, right? That's the only thing that can be coined in the Congress. Was made the law. You know, when you said the point about the Federal Reserve is now the financial agent, basically, for the United States. Well, I thought that was supposed to be Congress, but anyway. But you said, we think petrodollars, we think that means a dollar. And it hit me. It has been 4 years? It has been 54 years, ladies and gentlemen, since anybody has seen a dollar in circulation in this country. In 1964, of course, the Kennedy half dollars, everybody's probably familiar with them. 1964 was the last time in the quarters that year and the dimes that silver was in our money in circulation. It has been 54 years since we have seen a dollar. And what we see now, it's like looking in the mirror. If you look in the mirror, is that a picture of you? Is that you or a reflection of you? What is it? And it's not a dollar. It's not you. It's a reflection. And just like, I mean, again, we're getting into esoteric and spiritual things. You have the kingdom of God, which uses honest weights and measures, even back to the Bible. Where do you think the founding fathers got all these things they put in the Constitution, honest weights and measures? They came straight from the Old Testament. Then you have gold and silver is mine, saith the Lord. Now you have this made-up money out of nothing. And the power, I mean, Bernie could buy up the world, literally, if he can print his own money. That's quite a racket.
He could. But he'd have to have the army to force everybody to take it. And I tell you, Michael Ribeiro did a wonderful, wonderful talk on All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. Because now you've got to force everybody to take it. And sometimes that requires an army. And if someone refuses to take it, there were rumors that Saddam Hussein was going to sell oil in gold for a while, and he had to be stopped. In other words, you've got to make sure everybody uses your money.
Well, Gaddafi certainly was. Gaddafi was going to make the gold-backed dinar. Then he's going to change really Northern Africa's whole economic outlook.
Yes.
And Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, had certainly a different idea. Hussein was also, that's another, let's not go down that rabbit hole, I guess. But you bring up a fantastic point. Let's get back to 1913, 1970, the war is going on. We have the Constitution for the United States. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's two. I did that on purpose. When the Constitution was written in 1787, it was called the Constitution for the United States of America. Go look it up. At somewhere down the line, it turned into Constitution of the United States, a reflection of the original, just
right.
Like the mirror when you go look in the mirror. Let's talk about 1917, the war, and this Trading with the Enemies Act. What does this mean?
Well, that meant that they decided that there had to be, they weren't going to stop people from trading with the enemy, which I thought was interesting, probably because they were making money off of both sides of the war, right? So what they were going to do is require people who wanted to trade with the enemy that they get licensed, that it be under their control. So if you were going to trade with the enemy, you had to have a license to do so. And when everything was done and the war was over, they didn't roll that back. They just left it in place. In fact, generally, when they pass legislation during a war, in general, they're not likely to roll it back. They keep it to their advantage. So in 1933, after they had raided the Treasury, Eugene Schroeder, I believe it's his name, Schroeder, wrote a wonderful piece on this, how we are the enemies of the state. Because the people, after the Great Depression, they still had some gold. And at that time, the gold was being held publicly. You could store your gold in the Federal Reserve Bank. So people were poor, and they wanted their money. They wanted something because they were desperate. And that's when the Roosevelt was put in office so he could bring in the New Deal. And the Federal Reserve said to Congress and the president, the people are hoarding gold. The people are hoarding gold. Well, basically, I honestly think that they confiscated the people's gold that they were holding, and the people were coming after it, so they wanted to cover up their crime. And so they made the people the enemy. You turn in your gold because you're hoarding gold. And they included all United States citizens then.
Let me pause right there 1 second. I think that is that, ladies and gentlemen, you can go read the act. In 1917, they basically said Congress, the president, they gave the power to the president, basically almost a constitutional dictatorship on this point, power over these transactions. In the act itself, it says excluding citizens within the United States. It says that.
Right.
In 1933, what Al is saying, it no longer, there was an amendment, and it no longer said that. Okay, go ahead and continue, Al.
Correct, because they had stolen the gold, and now they were, there was no constitutional way they could demand that the people turn in their gold. I mean, if you look at the Constitution, there's just absolutely no device for doing that. So they adopted the Trading with the Enemy Act, accused and said that people were hoarding gold, and therefore everybody had to turn in their gold.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's important. And like Patrick Henry, we need to know the worst of this so we can account for it. And it's a great speech ever, Patrick Henry, in American history, certainly. The Constitution is almost dead. Now, we don't live in a post-constitutional world. We live in that in-between world where, you know, on one side, it's not being enforced by the, certainly the courts. It's barely in function. It's not even being taught in schools. It's living barely in the hearts and minds of every patriot, of veterans, of teachers, some teachers out there, some students, some people. It's barely living this principle, this idea. America is an idea. It is a concept. The Declaration of Independence is the charter, the most revolutionary document, political, that we have ever, ever, ever seen. To criticize and to want to get rid of a statue of Thomas Jefferson, to even hint at defaming his name, maybe that's a better word, not necessarily exalting statues, but to even hint at defaming our founding fathers and lessening what they did is the height of ingratitude, ignorance, foolishness, and subversiveness. It's the height of it. It's a miracle. We lost the battle for our Constitution after the Civil War. The 1913 Act, when the power was separated into two, it gave birth to this physical birth to the competing monetary system that began to grow and to take more and more power and energy. You think about every time you go to work. You think about when you build. You think about when you go to the store and you even want to build a house and you go pay for something. The energy, your will, your creation, your inheritance has now been converted to this made up of nothing monopoly money, and now enforced by the legal system behind it that's tied to the IMF, is tied to the New World Order, is tied to the United Nations, and they're trying, this cabal is trying their damnedest to push us all the way over the edge. We like have our fingertips on the edge of the bar, so to speak, and they're about to try to step on their fingers that will let go and will fall all the way to the bottom of the ravine. That's where we are. And it's not, well, the Constitution, we're fighting. No, we've already lost the battle. We're trying to restore and trying to hold the line that we have. Our situation could not be more desperate. Of course, they're smart, this cabal. They don't want to push, you know, only so hard so that we don't really wake up to this. We're talking to Al Whitney, who's just an incredible source. We have just a couple, 2 or 3 minutes before another break. Short segment here, long segment coming up. 1917, the Trading with the Enemies Act, and then what happened in 1933, Al Whitney.
Okay, so then they came in with the permanent state of national emergency. Roosevelt told Congress that this is an emergency, the country is in a dire situation. He had to have some kind of an excuse for confiscating the people's gold. So, unfortunately, Congress gave him the power of war and national emergency, but they didn't give it to Roosevelt. They gave it to the Office of the President. They gave him the authority to declare a national emergency, which he did. And he closed the banks. Okay, there was a banking holiday. Bob Chapman of International Forestry used to talk about that all the time. But the bad news is, people, they didn't limit that power. They gave him the power of basically of a dictator. They gave the power of the Office of the President to run the country, okay, outside of the Constitution and outside of Congress. That power was never taken away. It's never been relinquished. There's a wonderful report that was done on emergency, war and emergency powers. Senate Report 93549 was produced by a Senate committee headed by Frank Church. It was an amazing investigation that they did. Anybody can read it. It's lots of pages. They looked at statutes. They had constitutional experts involved in this investigation of what this national emergency has done to the country. And they concluded with this important report that hardly anybody knows about. I didn't know about it till someone called it to my attention. If you talk to an attorney about the fact we're under war and emergency powers, they look at you like you're smoking dope. But the report is there, easy to read, easy to understand. And we have been under emergency powers ever since 1933, outside of the Constitution.
For those people who want to say, well, that's just a theory, it doesn't make sense, it's nuanced, it's you made this up in your basement. Here's what I would tell you. You're wrong. I will prove it to you. The Trading with the Enemies Act that was enacted in 1917 around the World War I, or the Great War at the time, that was amended in 1933... The corporate cabal, the banking system, was screaming because Americans wanted their gold. They wanted their gold out of the bank. They wanted to retain, because of the Depression, they wanted to retain their power. Do you understand? The gold and the silver was as synonymous with their wealth, with their creation, with their inheritance, with everything. The gold and silver was an honest measure of all those things. It's not about money. It's about honesty. It's about fairness, weights and balances. The government said it was getting pressure from the bank. Whoa, these people are out of control. Congress amended. It was, do you understand? It was a last-ditch effort to hold on to that inheritance that they had been given. Congress amended the Trading with the Enemies Act, and now it included citizens of the United States. Don't believe me? You think we're making this up? Who did the federal government take the gold from? What enemy did they take control over these transactions from? Did they take it from Russia? No. Did they take it from Germany? No. Indochina, Japan, anybody else in this world, did they take it from? No. Who is the enemy of the corporate United States? They took it from the people of the United States of America, we the people, the constitutional, states' rights, state citizen, endowed by their creator, constitutionally protected beings that are the American people.
And they converted
us into tax and code slaves.
And they converted us into tax and code slaves.
There you go. I mean, do you hear what you just said, ladies and gentlemen? Go ahead.
I have a little diagram that I put out there, and I could send it to you, but it's pretty simple. There's two squares. In one square, there's a circle around it that says Constitution. In the other one, there's a circle around it that says Uniform Commercial Code. The one that says Constitution has Bill of Rights, sovereignty, freedom, common law, and justice. Is that the world we're living in? Does anybody feel we're living in that world? Or do we feel like we're living in the other world? Inside that circle is statutes, fines, fees, rules, contracts, licenses, regulations, penalties, and code.
My God. My God. Now, we're in 1933. My great-grandmother, she did not trust the banks at all. She lived through that. She put her money under the mattress, much more excited about that than in the banks. The Social Security Act, the birth certificate. Now let's talk about that. I know this is very nuanced, ladies and gentlemen, but I think it's very important. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, then they got everybody to register in the 20s. They started to make people register their babies when they were born. They started, before then, people would just put the name in their Bible, the date of the baby's birth, the parents, and the name would go in the Bible. Then they decided, no, that's not good enough. We want them to register, okay, and have a birth certificate. So eventually they got, and the Social Security Act was passed. So eventually they got this thing they wanted. They wanted their tax and code slaves registered, okay, so they could tax them, people. I mean, that was the whole point, is to get that baby's name in that book, have that identification, and then people wouldn't be allowed to work unless they had a Social Security number. Today, if you're trying to find a job without a Social Security number, let me know, because it's almost impossible. That means that everybody who goes to work, their income is reported by their employer to the privately owned IRS. So they got their tax and code slave, didn't they? Through that act of registering our babies with the certificate of live birth and going into their database, each child is given a number, and that is the number the child needs to work. Now, does that sound like free people?
Go further. Let me go one step further. You say income tax. What is the definition of all these words to the corporate code? They have different definitions than what you think. The definition of income is corporate profit. That's the definition of income. Corporate profit. They've made you into a corporation, to a subsection or subheading or sub-corporate level of this grand private big corporation that is mirrored, that has sucked all the energy out of the organic republic for the Constitution for the United States of America, and created this corporate level where now they put a number on you and take everything from you. It's that simple, ladies. I mean, it's simple. It's complicated as hell, but in practice, it's quite simple. You're no longer protected by the Constitution.
I'd like to read this quote that came from Woodrow Wilson, and he's the one who betrayed us, of course, when he signed the Federal Reserve Act and got us into World War I. But this quote came from his private papers, and it is a quote from Edward Mandel House, who was one of his advisors, and he was secretly an agent of the Rothschilds. But this is what Edward Mandel House said. Very soon, every American will be required to register their biological property in a national system designed to keep track of the people, and that we will operate under the ancient system of pledging. By such methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which will affect our security as a chargeback for our fiat paper currency. Every American will be forced to register or suffer not being able to work and earn a living. They will be our chattel, and we will hold a security interest over them forever by operation of the law merchant under the scheme of secured transactions. Americans, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivering the bills of lading to us, which is the certificate of live birth, will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent forever to remain economic slaves through taxation secured by their pledges. They will be stripped of their rights and given a commercial value designed to make us a profit. And they will be none the wiser, for not one man in a million could ever figure our plans. And if by accident one or two would figure it out, we have in our arsenal plausible deniability. After all, this is the only logical way to fund government, by floating liens and debt to the registrants in the form of benefits and privileges. We will inevitably reap to us huge profits beyond our wild expectations and leave every American a contributor to this fraud, which we will call social insurance, and that's Social Security. Without realizing it, every American will insure for us any loss we may incur, and in this manner, every American will unknowingly be our servant, however begrudgingly. The people will become helpless and without any hope for their redemption, and we will employ the high office of the president of our dummy corporation to foment this plot against America.
Dear God.
Did I not?
Oh, dear God, Al.
What they did, does that not describe what they did?
We got about 45 seconds before the break. We got one segment on the other side. Obviously a lot to talk about. Prove this even more. There's some heroes involved here. One is Lewis McFadden, who was a congressman. I think we should get to some of what he did, and he was killed. Well, he was quote-unquote suicided. Let's talk about Lewis McFadden and what his part to uncover this. Let's talk about where we're at now. Trafficant, I think, is extremely important. And any other thoughts that you might have, Al, solutions, where we're at now? This is, ladies and gentlemen, there is, what else is there? Can you name one thing in your frickin' life that is more important than this? Please, can you? Can you? Yesterday was Constitution Day. Now you know why I was so upset with Mark Lerner. I love Mark, but just this idea of driver's license or getting out of this. Just get the hell out of all of it. You see? They're wrapping the noose around our neck. Ladies and gentlemen, you want another little piece of evidence. Okay, go on your, you've got a driver's license, go look at your name on your driver's license. Is it normal, upper and lower case, like you would write your name? No. Why do you need a license to operate a vehicle? Why do you need to travel around? You know, driving is a commercial. See, they say it's a commercial enterprise. Again, the UCC code, the commercial law, they're putting you under the commercial law to get a license. Why do I need a license for something God gave me the right to do? Do you get it? Do you see? Nothing is more in your face than that deal and these Federal Reserve notes. Those are probably the two most in your face, obvious examples of how we've been separated from our inheritance. Our inheritance, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't some, well, we're just talking. This is our God-given, founding fathers bestowing inheritance. It's being squandered by a bunch of chicken-neck control freaks, satanic demons who want to steal everything that hasn't been taken down, including your soul. And they've created a competing kingdom to the freedom and blessing and amazing moment that is the Republic of the United States of America. Al Whitney from AntiCorruptionSociety.com. It's been amazing having you on. We got a few minutes left. Lewis McFadden, a real hero. Let's talk about some of the things quickly that he has brought to this.
Well, he did expose, and again, you can go to AntiCorruptionSociety.com to source documents, scroll down, and we have his work in that book. We didn't write the book. We just formatted it. It was someone else who did it, and we gave credit to them. And it was not copyrighted. So Lewis McFadden, it's listed, an astounding exposure. He did his best to get everyone's attention that he did, just like Traficant. He went on the floor of Congress impassioned and told the truth about the Federal Reserve and the international bankers being willing to cut their mother's throat for a dollar. And he did file charges. He started to file charges to impeach the Federal Reserve. They are on the record, but nothing was done with it. He did admit that that was an international banker. It wasn't part of the government. So he did his best to expose them. And, yes, he was poisoned because he was relentless. He wanted to pursue justice. So he was dead, you know. He was quieted. Had he lived to see what happened, I think he died before the Social Security Act and things got a lot worse. But this emergency power, if people don't believe it, I'm going to tell them to look up Executive Order 13814. Executive Order
13814. 13814. Okay, go ahead.
Signed by President Trump on October 20th, 2017. It is a continuation of the permanent state of national emergency, which has been in place since 1933. This gives the office of the president extraordinary powers and explains now why we have over 600 federal agencies. They have expanded their power. They've got agencies who are assigned to look at child support issues, alcoholism issues. You name it, they've established an agency that they want from the federal corporation to be in charge of that issue, and they issue grants to the different counties, states, and cities under this umbrella, and unfortunately the counties, states, and cities keep taking the money and put in place the kind of programs that they want put in place. That's part of the problem. Is we've got the local people taking money to install the programs that the federal corporation wants installed. None of them ensure our freedom. We have been under attack, the American people. I read that thing from Edward Mandel House. This has gone on a very long time, people, particularly since 1933, particularly since they gave us birth certificates, particularly since they gave us Social Security numbers we cannot work without, and that allows them to tax us, to track and tax our income. They have been attacking the American people our whole life. Unless you were born before 1933, even then you would live through the Great Depression, which they caused. They outsourced our jobs. They closed down our plants with NAFTA. Then they brought in foreign workers that would work for less. So the American men, and in many cases the women, but mainly the men, were displaced, okay? And we're not supposed to complain about it. I just tell everybody, you know, we have been attacked our whole life. At the very least we can do is be loyal to our fellow Americans and stop trusting Congress to fix this. They're not going to fix it. They're up to their eyeballs in doing the bidding of lobbyists. So my answer is don't vote. Cancel your registration. That's exactly what was done by Melvin Stamper, the attorney author of the book Fruit from a Poisonous Tree. When he got done with his research, he canceled his voter's registration. He is no longer a United States citizen. If you are a United States citizen, that means you're okay with what we are telling you today. I can't believe you're okay with that. It is not in your benefit. All United States citizens are still today, during a national emergency, enemies of the state. Stop being registered voter.
Al, we're about to run out of time. We're going to have you on again. And, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have Kelby Smith come on and talk about this state citizenship and U.S. citizen and all that. Here's a couple quotes I'd like to leave you with, and then Al's final thoughts. This is Thomas Paine. This is what really spearheaded the war. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. Martin Luther King Jr. Cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? The conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but one must take it simply because it is right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are upon that time. And the most important word in your vocabulary might very well be the word no. No, no, and no. Al Whitney, has been an absolute pleasure again having you on. We'll have to have you on again soon. We have about a minute or so. Any concluding thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed it, and I love your passion and your attempt to inspire the people, and I could do more of that, most definitely.
Well, God bless you. AntiCorruptionSociety.com is her website. We're going to get a lot of those quotes and stuff, put them on ours, and link to her articles in the book by McFadden. Ladies and gentlemen, we can do this. We will do this. But who? You see, we will do this. So let's do it. What's the problem? Let's do it. Get everybody to hear this interview so they can know from now on. They have no excuses that, look, burying your head in the sand and watching reality shows is not going to cut it. This is it. This is the time. It's the fourth quarter. It's a two-minute warning. This is it. And this game, we lose this game, we're not talking about a win-loss record. We're talking about everything. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.